enjoyed being a part of Vacation Bible School. And I meant to make it up, and maybe I can just use this. But one day during VBS, I had a little manila. I had one of those folders, you know, one of those things you put in the filing cabinet, a file. And I had stapled a bunch of papers to it. And we were doing about God's forgiveness and God knows everything. And so I came into the room and I had all the kids sitting on the floor. Some of you guys grew up in the church know we had that other building back over there. I was in one of those rooms. And I started reading off about things kids had done. You know, oh, it says here that some of you have hit your brother. Oh, it says here some of you didn't make your bed up when mom told you to. Oh, it says here that you didn't brush your teeth morning. You know, and I just kind of saw, and one of the kids look up at me and go, how does he know? You know? And you know, because we all sin. We all have issues. We all have struggles. We're mistakers. No, I'm going to be offensive. Okay, we're sinners. I'm going to use the Bible word. I just like the way God says it, you know. We miss the mark. We fall short. We don't measure up. And none of us are perfect. That's why Jesus died. He died on the cross for our sins. Growing up, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, if you did something wrong, you faced some consequences. Anybody? Now, I was, just so you know, some of you have heard me tell my story. I was, my mom and dad, even though they never really, you know, they dragged us to church and church wasn't really part of our life, they believed in the biblical principle, spoil the child. They made sure they didn't spare the rod, all right? You know, but just so you know, I always liked that because I would get in trouble, run in the house, take my licking, and come out a ticking, okay? Now, my friend down the street, he would get in trouble. He'd go in the house. He'd be grounded for 3 days. I was lucky. You know, I'm out playing again. You know, just go take it, get it over with, let's go. You know, because there's consequences. And I want to tell you, the kind of our sin, lying's not that bad, right? You know? Well, I just stretch the truth. Right? Right? I just stretch the truth. No, as kids, would you ever say anything like this? Has anybody ever said, well, he started it. Now, as adults, we don't say that, right? We know that's kids. As adults, this way, it's not my fault. Right? It's not my fault. So-and-so. You know, we just have different words to say the same thing. Because we all, you know, we all have these battles. We all struggle with sin. But Jesus died to take those sins away. There's consequences. Now, we live with some of the consequences. But Jesus died to take those sins away. And so what I want us to think about this morning is I want to think Jesus nailed to the cross. You know, that when Jesus died on the cross, he nailed our sins to the cross. Literally, nailed our sins to the cross. Here's what it says. And get your little outline out. There's some blanks to fill out. And you may want to fill them out. No, you're going to want to fill them out. Because I really, my prayer is that you're going to be able to start the new year in a new way. Okay? That's my prayer this morning. That's what I want for this service. That's why I'm doing the Lord's Supper today. Because when next week, Ron, I want you to have a new beginning. I want you to have a fresh start. I want things to be different in your life, in mine. Listen to what it says here in Colossians as Paul wrote this. When you were stuck in your old sin-dead life. Isn't that so offensive? You were incapable of responding to God. God brought you alive right along with Christ. Think of it. All sins forgiven. Slate wiped clean. The old arrest warrant canceled and nailed to the cross. See, I want us to go to the new year free. I want us to go to the new year fresh. I want us to go to the new year with all this stuff. Now, some of us have things from just last year. And some of us, I don't know about you, may have things that you've carried for years. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Things that you just, you know, you just keep that bag. You don't have Santa Claus's red bag. You got a garbage bag full of trash that you haven't let go of yet. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But Jesus nailed it all to the cross. And I want us to think about what Jesus did. Now, I like that little passage at the very end. The old arrest warrant canceled and nailed to the cross. Let me paint a picture for you of how Rome did their judicial system. When they put you through the system, you would go into the court. The judge would sit there, listen to all the charges. And then when he would take a piece of paper and he'd begin to write the charges. This is what you're convicted of. You did da 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 da. You know, he'd write out the charges that you're convicted of. Then he'd write out the sentence. You're going to serve a year, 12 months, whatever it was, 28 days, whatever. He'd write out whatever that sentence was. He would pass it to you. And then you would take that to the Roman guards. They'd be in jail. And they would nail that certificate to the door. And then you would be in there until that certificate was filled. You could go, it's my time, look, there's my charges. The guard would give you that paper. You'd take that paper back to the judge. The judge would stamp it, notarize it, in today's terms, paid on it, and send you on your way. And then if anybody came up to you and said, weren't you, didn't you, why did you? You could pull that paper out and said, yes, I've served my time, and I'm debt-free now. And you could show the paper to prove you're debt-free. You see this image with Jesus because he had the death penalty on his. And so above the cross of Jesus, they had those words. Remember, anybody remember the words they had there? The words, King of the Jews. That's what he was convicted of. Blasphemy from the Jewish people. And so we see that and we hear that in these words. And so you'd have this certificate. And that's what I want us today. I want us to think about nailing to the cross the things in our life. You know? And I want you to have that freedom. Because here's a question. And it's a good time, even if it's Christmas time. Who killed Jesus? You know, who was it that killed Jesus? You know, I've heard people, you know, blame the Jews for killing Jesus. They're the ones that brought the charge. They were the prosecutors that, you know, he wanted to be the king of the Jews. He's trying to cause an insurrection in Rome, and it was Jesus, and so the Jews killed Jesus. You know, and they campaigned for the Jews. Then I've heard others argue, the Romans, you know, they're the ones that convicted him. They're the ones that beat him. They're the ones that nailed him to the cross. But I want to tell you, it wasn't the Jews, and it wasn't the Romans, it was me. And if you're like me, a sinner, it was you. We're the ones that caused Jesus to be nailed to the cross. That when he nailed it to us, he took it away from us and set us free. And so what I want to look at this morning is, I got like six things here. I think there were six of them. I can't remember now. We'll find out as we go. That he nailed to the cross for us. Because I want you to go next year fresh and free and new. Because you've nailed it to the cross, because Jesus took it to the cross. And here's what it says this. And the person who keeps every law, oh, this is a great verse. Just so you know, there's some kids in Awana that can tell you this verse, okay? This is a verse that I know my Awana class memorized. And the person who keeps every law of God that makes one little slip is just as guilty as the person who has broken every law there is. If I speed down the freeway, have I broken the law? Of course, you know I don't speed, right? All right. But if you speed down the freeway, have you broken the law? Doesn't matter what law you broke the law. Yeah. Well, I don't lie, I don't cheat, I don't steal. I just got anger issues. Is that okay? Yeah. I haven't had an affair on my wife, so I'm a good person. Is that okay? No. See, we need to understand that it's all the law. But Jesus nailed it all to the cross. And so I want to look at the things Jesus nailed to the cross, because I want you to go out fresh and new. So the first one, if you got your little outline, I want you to put the word condemnation in that first one. Okay? I want to tell you, Jesus nailed the condemnation of sin to the cross. When he died on the cross, he took condemnation. Let me ask you this morning, anybody here feel guilty? Don't raise your hand. Just in your head. Anybody got you got some guilt? You know, how do we deal? You know, well, you're just a sinner. See, I'm going to tell you, sinner isn't offensive to me because I know I am. You're not telling me anything I don't know, but I do know something else. We're going to sing a song later. He knows my name. And he nailed it to the cross. See, if you feel guilty, let me share this with you. This is a principle for me. Two things. When I feel guilty, guilty comes from two things. Either Satan is making me feel guilty. All right? Satan will use guilt to get you to give up. Well, I can't be good anyway. I'll never make it. It never works out right for me. Why should I even try? I quit. I'm not going there again. And Satan uses guilt to destroy, kill, and devastate your lives. But I want to tell you, there's other times when God uses guilt to make me confess. I've shared this many times in the church. Here's my belief, and here's what I see in God's Word. God calls us to confess our sins. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You can go look in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, 9, and 10. You can look there, and you can see. We need to confess our sins. Now, as for me, that confession, I do confess at night. You know, I go to bed at night and, God, I did this or I did that. I'm very specific. All right? And then to God, if I forgot something that I didn't pay attention to, or I'm just rugging it off, or I'm ignoring it, God, forgive me. But during the day, sometimes I already know I messed up. Anybody? I already know, Gary, you were not right when you said that. Gary, you were not right with those thoughts. Gary, that attitude was not right. And sometimes, even during the day, I get guilt. Anybody have those during the day you feel guilty? Is it, you know? But see, God says there's no condemnation if I confess it. So here's my thing for you. If you feel condemned today, there's a problem. Either there's unconfessed sin that God wants you to confess, or Satan's trying to destroy you. I can make it real easy. Just confess it to God right now. You don't have to confess it out loud. Matter of fact, I'm going to ask you to nail it to the cross later today, this morning. Because God wants to take it all. You don't need to feel condemned. Jesus says he didn't come to condemn the world. Anybody know John 3:16? Read on down to like 3:18. Really some good stuff there. We don't need to feel guilty. I want you to go next year. I want you to start the year. You don't have to feel guilty. You don't have to have regrets. You have to feel bad about the past. You know, there's no condemnation. God doesn't condemn us. He's nailed that to the cross. Therefore, it says, Romans 8, this is Paul speaking. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to make sure you know, God doesn't overlook sin. This tells us he doesn't overlook sin. This tells us he doesn't overlook sin. You know, it's not, well, I'm going to sin anyway. I might as well do it big, right? Anybody? If I'm going to do it, man, I'm going to go all out, you know. No, God doesn't overlook sin. So what I want you to this morning as we start this time with God, and we're going to come to the table and share in the image and the symbols of the body and the blood of Jesus as we come to that, I want you to come guilt-free. Is that okay? I want you to come free, that God has set you free, that Jesus nailed that guilt. He nailed that condemnation. He set you free. He nailed it to the cross. And you're free. And yes, there's consequences, and yes, there's the life that changes when we sin, but I'm free. Are you guilt-free today? Anybody carrying a bag that's a year old? 5 years old? You don't have to carry it. Jesus took it. Just give him the bag. Is that okay? There's no condemnation when you come to God, and he nailed it to the cross. If you got your little outline there, this next one up here, you know, there's no curse of the law. All right? There's no curse of the law. That when Jesus died on the cross, he took the curse of the law. Now, what's the curse of the law? I'm going to tell you. Death. Death, the pain. When Jesus died on the cross, the law is good. Let me ask you, I talk about speeding down the road. Is this make good? Is it wise to follow the laws? The laws are good, right? They're there to protect us. I think that's the hardest thing. You know, you become a Christian, I got to give up all this. God's saying, no, I want to protect you. Who's my worst enemy? I'm going to get to this in a minute. You're going to see this, and I'm going to talk about it. My worst enemy is not somebody out there. My worst enemy is Gary. I don't need anybody getting Gary in trouble. Gary has always been good himself in trouble. See, the law just sets the framework. God's trying to protect us. God's trying to guide us and guard us and encourage us and strengthen us. But the law has this curse on it. There's a consequences. There's a penalty. There's a punishment. And Jesus took the curse of the law from us. Let me tell you something. You don't have to die because of your sins. Isn't that? You guys are just kind of sitting here. Isn't that good? You know, the penalty. You know, anybody ever go through the judicial system? Don't raise your hand, but I have. You know, I stand before the judge, and I sat there, and it's my turn to come up, and you stand there, and it's like, okay, how do you plead? You know, I watched all sorts of guys, no contest, and all this. Stood there, and I go, guilty with an explanation. Isn't that a good one? Yeah. I'm guilty with an explanation. Got a real simple explanation. I got my ticket signed. I had modified exhaust on my car. You know, you cut the pipes off and you come across the train tracks. You hear me coming into town, you would hear me. Yeah. And I had 3 tickets for that. So finally they took me to court. Said, fix it. Yeah. But I am guilty, and I think that's a perfect thing with God. See, the curse of the law says there's a price to pay. But I stand before God and say, God, yeah, I'm a sinner. But I got a big explanation. Jesus nailed my sins to the cross. He nailed yours too. See, the curse of the law, the law is good. The law helps us. The law guides us. It directs us. It supports us. And it gives meaning and purpose to life. But when you violate that law, there's a curse. And Jesus paid that. Look at what it says. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. Because it is written, everyone who does not do everything written in the book of the law is cursed. See, God's got a real simple thing. If you're not perfect, you're messed up. Anybody here perfect? We're all messed up. And he says, I'm going to set you free from that. I'm going to set you free. And what he's saying is this. Let me tell you this. If you're trying to work to get to heaven, you know, I'm a good person. You know, here's my thing. I'm not a good person, but I'm not that bad of a person. Anybody on that one? You know, I'm not a good person. You know, I'm not perfect, but I'm not that bad. But, wait. Just so you know, I'm better than all of you, though. All right? Does that help me? Can I go to God and say, God, I pastored a church. I was better than all the people in my church. God, does that help me? First of all, I'm probably the worst of all of us in this church, okay? Because I'm the pastor and I should be better than who I am. Yeah? See, we're never good enough. That's the curse of the law. I'm going to work. I'm going to be good. You know, I'm going to strive. I'm going to try to be perfect. I'm never going to make a mistake. I'm never going to have a thought. I'm never going to have another word come out of my mouth that's not nice. I'm going to treat everybody respectfully. Is that hard? Anybody want to treat everybody respectfully? We just had the youth conference, and it's fun. I'm going to tell you, at the youth conference, it's never the kids. It's always the adults. You know? And so that curse of the law is taken away. Look at what it is here. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Because it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Jesus took that curse for us. He removed the curse for us. I'll never be good enough. I'll never be perfect. But I don't have to, I can stop struggling to earn my way. It's a free gift on the cross. The second one I put down here, the third thing, I'm going to put, how about the charms of the world? Is the world tempting some stuff to tempt us? Doesn't the world look good? Come on, I mean, you know, isn't it nice to... Isn't it nice to have nice stuff, the curse of the world? You know, I'm sure none of you guys ever have any covetous thoughts. Anybody have those covenants? Why did they get it and not me? When is my turn going to come? Am I the only one that thinks those things? You know? God, you're not... What word? Fair. See, you guys... Oh, yeah. You know? The world is tempting. The world is out there making it look so shiny and so good. You know, it sounds so nice. And Satan uses this. See, this is so amazing. Here's an image I have. Satan has sat there and say, it's not that bad. It's okay. How about nobody will ever know? Nobody's ever going to see. Satan sets that all up, right? Here's how Satan does this. He set it all up. Nobody's going to know. Nobody will ever see. Nobody's ever going to find out. And you go, I'll do it just this one time, right? I'll do it just this one time. And then as soon as you do it, Satan turns the spotlight on. Hey, look what he did. That's how Satan plays his game. You know, he'll say, nobody's going to know, but as soon as you do it, he's going to make sure everybody knows. You know, it's the charm of the world. You know, it's like, hey, everybody's doing it. It's okay. Nobody cares. Nobody's going to know. The charms of the world. And Jesus nailed that to the cross. We don't have to follow that. I don't have to follow those desires. Look at what it says here. I like this verse. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human traditions and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than Christ. Don't be led astray by these empty ideas. Let me frame it this way. Have you ever worked hard to get something? And you couldn't wait, and you worked hard, you sacrificed, you did everything to get it. And then once you got it, a month later you're going, why did I do all that? Anybody besides, you know? You worked so hard to get that, and then you get it, and you're going, why did I make such a big deal about that? Satan makes things look so good, and it's so tempting, and it's just the right thing, and he's good at it. He's a deceiver, he's deceptive, and the one thing I've realized over the years is, you know what, I got to go to bed at night. And I needed a lot of sleep last night. And I was with a bunch of youth, all right? But here's something to know. Satan never has to sleep. And he's planning tomorrow's schemes already. He already had it all outlined. You know? You're going to pull on the roof, you get out of church, you're going to go over to eat somewhere, and that moronic driver is going to be in front of you. Right? Come on now. You know? You know, you're going to go there and the waitress is not going to get your order right, right? You pull through Taco Bell and you open the bag up and it's like, I asked for no onion. And I don't want anybody. See, we have these desires and we have these things that it sounds good and it looks good. But look at what it says. But as for me, I will never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The world has been crucified to me through Christ, and I to the world. All right? How about the next one I put down here? I got another one for us here that Jesus nailed to the cross. How about corruption of the flesh? Now, I'm not talking about our body. I don't know about you, but my body's getting old. I need to exercise. Never mind. I don't want to go there. The flesh is our desires. The flesh is those things that draw us, that pull us, that drag us. And Galatians has it really good. Most of us know, if you read Galatians, there's a fifth chapter, there's a thing called the fruit of the Spirit. Anybody familiar with? But you need to back up a few verses. Because here's what it says. No, the works of the flesh are obvious. Now the works of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred. See, I can pretty much cross out some of those first ones. You know, I am not going to have an affair, but I'm going to make sure I put guardrails to make sure I don't, okay? But hatred? You know, there's some people that are hard. Is there people, you got anybody that's hard to love? Anybody got somebody that's hard to love? It's Christmas time, right? Isn't it fun when they come over? You know, Uncle Joe's coming over. Oh, why is Uncle Joe coming? You guys never say anything like that, right? Hatred, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger. It's getting too personal. Selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing. Anything similar. I mean, it's just like, hey, if I didn't think of it, figure it out. I am warning you about these things. I warned you before. And those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. He's saying you got to watch out for those natural desires. And Jesus nailed it to the cross. You don't have to be a slave to sin. A slave to those desires. Have you ever said something like this? I just couldn't help myself. Anybody? I just couldn't help myself. That's that evil desires, you know? And we need to monitor. And he's saying, we don't have to have those. We don't have to be a prisoner to those anymore. You can be set free from those desires. Now, they're going to be there, but you don't have to be a prisoner of them. They don't have to keep you captive, control you, because God nailed it to the cross for us. He nailed those sins to the cross. And we don't have to deal with those and walk in them. And you hear me say this week in and week out in this church. I try to make it this way every time. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come into my life and take control. That's what this is all about. Those evil desires, that corruption of the flesh, that I need to, I want to. Anybody ever need to bite the tongue? Anybody want to, you know, I wish I would have bit my tongue. We got these desires. But now look at what it says. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the passions and desires. They're there, but you don't have to be a prisoner to them. You don't have to be tied to them. You don't have to be condemned by them. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross. He held it to the cross. The next one I put down here, I got another one here that Jesus nailed to the cross. I put the control of the devil. The control of the devil. You might not like this, but I'm going to tell you the truth, okay? Can I do that? You'll be controlled of two things. Bible's real specific here. Either you'll be controlled by God or the devil. Take your pick. You're a slave to one or the other. Yeah. You can't say, well, I'm going to control my own life. I'm going to say, if you're going to try to control your own life, I'm going to tell you who has control of your life. All right? It's the devil. I've got this, right? I got this. I can handle this. I can get near the fire and not get burnt, right? Come on, I can get near the fire and not get burnt. I can play a little bit over here and not get involved. See, the devil, the corruption, the devil wants to control. He'll manipulate, he'll test, he'll do things. He wants to destroy our lives and to kill us. And that's what he's done. Look at what it says again in Romans. Overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us enough to die for us. You know, as I was reviewing the message this morning and thinking about the cross, I thought about the devil. and what the devil thought. As he sat there and Jesus nailed to the cross, he breathed his last breath, and Jesus on the cross said, anybody know when the end? He said, it is finished. And I bet the devil goes, yeah, it's finished. I've defeated God. I've won the battle. But when Jesus said it is finished, he meant, the devil, you're finished. Because 3 days later, guess what? Jesus rose from the grave. I've heard a preacher tell this story. I wish I could do it as well as he did. He talked about the devil parting, and then all of a sudden it's like, hey, you know, there's a rattling on the gates. There's some things going on down here that I can't plan. We can't hold him any longer. And he starts telling the story, and I love that. I love the way the preacher did it. I just can't tell stories like that. And the demons are sitting there saying, we're trying, we got it, and we're fighting the losing battle, and Jesus rose from the grave. Jesus lives today. Yeah. And so we don't have to have the devil control. We're set free. I'm doing things my way. I want to do them God's way. There is a better way. There is a better life. And I want to do them God's way. And so I'm going to give them to him. Overwhelming victory is ours through Christ, who loved us enough to die for us. And the last one I put here is the conquest of death. Jesus died on the cross, but he rose again, right? Death is not the end. This service, my aunt passed away, Christian woman. I'm looking, I hate to say sometimes, but you know, there's some funerals I look forward to doing when I get to preach Jesus at my aunt's funeral. And I look forward to that opportunity because I know there's going to be some lost people there and some of my aunts and uncles. I only got one uncle left, and some are not where they need to be. And I get to tell them, Grandma was there, and Grandpa was there, and Aunt was there. Where are you? You know, isn't it fun to have, you know, you read the passage where the faith that was with Eunice and was with the mother and mother is now is in Timothy. Isn't that fun to have that and pass it down? And I see that. See, death isn't the end. How sad it would be if this was all there was to life. You know? I don't know about you. I've had a good life, but it's still a hard life. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's a good life. But oh man, it's hard. Get to heaven, got my mansion, golden streets. You know, maybe I can sing. We'll see. You know. But see, it's not the end. God conquered death. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me will live even though they die. And all those who live and believe in me will never die. Do you believe? See, what I want to tell you, and what this passage says to me, is we have eternal life. And I'm not talking about the length of life. Because here's what I'm going to tell you. Every one of us is going to live forever. I just had a guy come to me this last week. Dan owes me. I've been talking with Dan about it. Some guy come to me and says, you don't torture the rest of your, you know, when you die for a little while, and then you cease to exist. And I'm going, that ain't in the Bible. You're going to live forever. The only question is, where are you going to live? That, you know, we all have eternal life. So what's so special about eternal life for us is it starts today. You understand what I'm saying? When you cross that line, when I was 17 years old and crossed that line, I'm going to live forever. I get to live forever in heaven, but I also get the blessings here. I am not, and this is something I was telling somebody this week at the convention, at the youth thing. I am not a lucky person. Anybody here a lucky person? I am not a lucky person. I am so glad I'm blessed. You know what I'm saying? I am not lucky. And I really, you know, would I like to be lucky? Sometimes. But I'm sure glad I'm blessed. Eternal life is to me. It's like things don't always go right. Things don't always go well. But in the end, God's got something he's working out. Yeah. Anybody ever walk with kids and you just kind of guide them? You know, when I do a wedding, I tell people, you know, the little kids come up with the flowers and all that. I tell the best men, your job is to put your hand on their shoulder and turn them. You're the driving force. And that's how I want to live my life with God. God, you just point me in the right direction. I'm going to just keep going. That's eternal life. See, death is not the end for us. And that's what I wanted you to have this morning. See, I wanted you to come this morning and realize there's no condemnation. No need to have guilt. I want you to start this year. You know what? That past, that garbage in my life, I know God's forgiven me, but it just keeps coming up. Let me tell you, when it comes up, tell the devil to go to hell. Can I say that? You know, you don't have to. If God, once you prayed it once, you can just say, I already confessed, get out of here. It's over. There's nothing there. It's gone. You know, there's no condemnation. There's no curse. There's no, none of this is all taken care of. The corruption of the flesh. The curse of the law. It's all, we're all set free. I want you to have that. And so I put this verse there at the bottom. Because this is what I want for the new year for you. Restore the joy of your salvation to me. Assist me by giving me a willing spirit. I want you to have joy. I want you to experience joy. Now, we always give an invitation. We're going to have the Lord's Supper today. Because that's what this is all about. Jesus, when he died on the cross and he rose from the grave, it's the Lord's Supper. That's what we're remembering. But some of us have some of this going on in our lives. And some of us need to nail some things to the cross. I think you might have noticed, was there a little red square in your bulletin? There should have been a little red square if one fell out or it's not there. I got some extras here, and if you're like me, you might need more than one or two. Is there something that you need to nail to the cross this morning? Something that you need to put on the cross this morning? You know, some maybe condemnation. Is there something that's haunting you that you just can't seem to shake? Just where you're at right now, just tell God, God, I'm going to give this to you. Whatever it is, you just tell him. I don't know what it could be. Maybe something that was done to you. Maybe something you did. I don't know. But is there something that's in you? Is there a sin that's condemning you that you just can't seem to shake? Something that just, you know, seems to have a claws on you, just seems that, you know, you think you defeated that sin, you think you conquered that, but every time you turn around, it slaps you in the face. Anybody? I want you to nail it to the cross. I want you to be set free. Is there some worldly attractions that's kind of sucking you in that, you know, I just got to have a little more money, I just got a bigger house, I got to have a newer car, I've got to have, and you just, you know, God, I'll get. I remember my grandma would tell me when I was young, and I wasn't in church, but I remember Grandma Cunningham saying, "There, my uncle's out there sowing his wild oats." Some of you have no idea what that meant. He's just out there not doing what he should be doing. And my grandma called it sowing wild oats. Yeah. Is there something that's just kind of flying into that lust of the flesh? You know, something that's kind of got you there? Is there some power the devil's dangling over you? And so I gave you a paper. Nobody's going to look, and I put these this way. But you can see I put mine the opposite way. I did mine already. I put mine the other way. I don't want to see yours, all right? I got a paper shredder. I meant to bring it in. It's out in the car right now. Because I'm not going to look at these. I'm going to shred these after church, okay? So I brought my paper shredder, and I meant to bring it in and forgot all about it. So I got a paper shredder. Because I want to nail it to the cross today. I want you to come anew and fresh and to be set free. I don't know what it is. I don't know what God has for you this morning. Is there a fear of death? Is there a condemnation that you feel? Is there a curse of the law that you're carrying? Does you feel it's a curse of the law? One of my great frustrations for me is to have somebody tell me that they feel some of the problems they're facing is because they made a bad decision so long ago. And it's like, you know, I can still remember a young lady feeling her marriage fell apart because they had sex before they got married. And it's like, Now, was that sin? I can't whitewash it, okay? But that's not a consequence. The consequence of sex before you get married is getting pregnant before you get married. And that's another one, all right? You know? That's a consequence. But Satan had taken that guilt and that condemnation and the curse of the law And he twisted all that up on her, right? Is there something for you? Has Satan twisted something, some curse? He's taken some condemnation. And he's just twisting and turning. And so for the next few minutes, we're going to let you come and take a nail and nail whatever it is to the cross. Please put it upside down. I don't want to see it. All right? It's your business between you and God. I don't know what God has for you, but I want you to walk out today. And when the new year comes, you're going, man, I'm excited. Because I'm clean and I'm ready for what God's going to do. I'm usable for God. So I want you to nail it to the cross. Jesus took it to the cross for you. You just given it to Jesus. That's right. So we're going to play a song. We're just going to give you some time. Now listen, here's what I want you to do. I want you to come and nail whatever you need to nail to the cross. That's your business. And then as you go back to your seat, grab the body and the blood of Christ, the symbols. Just so you know, we're not cannibals. These are symbols. Grab the body and blood of Christ. Go back to your seat. Just hold on to them. We'll take it all together at the same time. Is that okay? But take a few minutes now. This is your time between you and God. I'm going to pray for just a minute, and then you have your time to nail something to the cross. Let's pray. Lord, I hate to say it's a joy, but it is to take it to the cross. You suffered. You paid the price. You laid it all on the line when you gave your life. When you let them nail you to the cross. So, Lord, since you took it, we're bringing it to you. We're going to lay it all there before you. You already know. You've seen, you've heard, you know. So, Lord, we're just letting you know. We know. And where grace abounds, forgiveness is there. So use this time, Lord, to encourage these, to lay it all out, to leave it all at the cross, and to live new and afresh in the joy of thy salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.